The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. Today's episode with Jack Jensen is extraordinary and unique compared to the last 90 plus episodes. Jack Jensen is the founder of The Rec League. No, not the men's basketball league at your local church. The Rec League is a sports-obsessed creative agency based in Los Angeles. And Jack has worked closely with numerous professional athletes. The Rec League has worked with New Balance, Autograph, which is a crypto company, EA Sports, and Gymshark. Jack claims he's made Kawhi Leonard laugh, which we would all love to hear. Jack goes on in this episode to mention that Kobe Bryant was one of the most professional and dedicated athletes he's ever worked with, which I'm not surprised. And Jack and the Rec League just released a commercial with Jamal Murray for New Balance with no actual visual of the shoe. No shoe in the commercial that they were promoting. We'll hear about that. But I'm most excited for you to hear about his work ethic. He's slept in cars, worked 20 plus hour work days, and moved from city to city to get to where he's at today. His break-in starts at 72 and sunny, and he's not looking back. And before we get started, this episode is supported by Chicago Portfolio School. It's a one-year portfolio school option where you create a portfolio, also known as a book, that will impress some of the top agencies in the country. They've helped thousands of aspiring advertisers and can help you too. Find more information about them at chicagoportfolio.com or reach out to me directly on our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod, and also at Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. If you want to find out more information about Jack and his sports creative agency, The Rec League, head over to our Instagram there, and we've got his contact info and a list of his resources he recommends just for you. That's at Breaking and Entering Pod. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. I'm super excited to introduce Jack Jensen. Jack, you are the founder of the Rec League. I think we're going to get a lot of new listeners this episode because you have that sports angle. So everybody that's new here, welcome to the Breaking Entering Podcast. We're going to be interviewing Jack today. So Jack, kick us off. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Appreciate it, dude. Yeah, so I'm Jack, co-founded the Rec League with my creative partner, Trent Eubin, in 2018, writer-director over there. You know, we kind of initially got going because we felt we came from agency world client side and felt there just wasn't a ton of people within the creative side that truly knew sports and sports culture. I felt like it's a space that really demands authenticity and story. And, you know, that was kind of the kickoff point for Rec. And, you know, initially Trent and I were both, we met working at 72 and Sunny back in the day. And, you know, we just kind of would hide away money every month and then go and make something and learn and, you know, continue to be on set. And then from that, it just kind of blossomed organically, started bringing in more people. And now it's kind of, you know, blossomed to where it is today.
Nice. Nice. So if you had to categorize your agency, what would it be again?
Yeah, so we're a hybrid full creative agency, production partner, and post house. So everything you've seen from us, we've done soup to nuts, from brand strategy, brand management, creative development, production, full production, finishing, and post. So we feel like we run intentionally lean, but very big in experience in general. You know, we feel like having, you know, that same team kind of carry through the work delivers a better experience. And then there's not necessarily, you know, bodies wasted on things when it's not needed.
Of course. So I think the headline or the topic of this conversation in your interview here is breaking into sports advertising or sports creative. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in general, my path was a little interesting. You know, I went to the University of Oregon, which is hands down the best decision I've ever made. You know, met my wife there, met some of my best friends, was a student athlete there on the track and field team. And from that, had a lot of really good friends that were in the ad program at Oregon, run by Deb Morrison, who had just kind of started at that time. I went into Oregon, wanted to be a sports writer, a writer, and, you know, not really looking, not really understanding the advertising track. My roommate brought me to Deb. She kind of showed me this world a little bit. And then, you know, I really saw ultimately advertising as kind of this lane to maybe achieve those goals in sports. I knew I wanted to work in sports. I knew I wanted to work in production. And, you know, it felt like it was a unique lane and a unique path to get there. And from, you know, the University of Oregon, it was, you know, I graduated around the time the recession hit. Journalism jobs were beyond in decline. And here was this industry that touted beer taps and free Fridays and beanbag chairs. And I was like, all right, sounds good. I don't make any money anyways, so might as well give this a try. It took me about a year and a half to land a full time. I was working as a sports writer at Dime Magazine, you know, a place that I credit with a lot of awesome, you know, relationships that I hold true to this day. And it really got me connected with sports along with, you know, being a student athlete at Oregon. And, you know, from kind of grinding for about a year and a half, I went down to San Francisco and did an internship in an ad agency. It didn't really work out. Went up to Portland with the sole intention of bugging Wyden every single day to try to get on the Nike team.
Wait, so you didn't have a job? You didn't have a job there? You just went up to Portland?
No, I'd saved a little money from college. I went to San Francisco, lost all of that, living in a co-op, trying to make it work at this agency. Didn't work out. Say it again, sorry.
What was the agency?
I don't want to put anyone on blast, but it didn't work. Good job, good people, but went up to Portland, rented a $300 studio in Beaverton, Oregon, and was just making things and sending them to Wyden and trying to get in. I mean, I was like making videos, I made a mock website. I wrote an entire song, then wrote it on a basketball, pumped it up, sent it to them with beats. I was like, anything I could do to try to break in to this thing. Didn't work, but met some really good people. Got into 72 and Sunny, an internship.
Which is great.
Yeah, paid $400 a month. I was living in Oregon on a Thursday. They said, can you get here on Monday? I was like, okay. You know, packed up my Explorer with what I could fit in there, drove down, called a friend who was living in L.A., if I could spend the night, and ended up turning to 3 months on his floor. And I was living at an agency for a little bit. Yeah. I was living in my car for a while. It was like an amazing, awesome story, but you know, we found this like parking pass for this mega apartment complex in LA. We photocopied it, put it on my car so I could like sleep in my car behind the gates and stuff. It was like this entire journey of LA. My parents had no idea of any of this.
Oh yeah. I'm curious. Like, well, were you doing this all by yourself? I mean, what was motivating you? Why care so much? Did you just want to travel? Is that in your DNA? What was going on in your head?
No, I mean, you know, so from Denver originally, I went out to Oregon and, you know, my parents are insanely supportive and I just felt like I needed to do it. You know, it didn't work out in San Francisco for me. I felt like it didn't work out in Portland. And I was like, I need to do whatever I can to make LA work. And I went down there, and 72 was, at the time, it was just, you know, it was really abound with talented folks, like super friendly. It was about 90 people or so in one building. It was just awesome energy, and I felt like I needed to be a part of this. You know, going in as an internship, there's no, you know, guarantee of a job. So, I mean, I was working two jobs from that internship to maybe my first full year I would work. 8 in the morning till 9-10 at night at that job. And then I would go from 10 to 3 a.m. at Dime writing basketball stories and interviewing guys and going to games. And meanwhile, in L.A. too, I would go to I'd have a press pass, you know, to the Clippers and Lakers. So I would go and interview guys for Dime, and I'd make more connections. And then, you know, so I play a lot of sports. As you can tell by the name of the agency, the Rec League, we're very obsessed with sports as adults, but you know, I would play basketball everywhere I would go, and I would just meet people. And so I was not sleeping a ton in those days, but yeah, it was awesome. And 72, you know, I was really grateful to get an opportunity at the end of that internship. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. It turned into 5.5 years over there. And yeah, that was a good time.
When did you start at 72 and Sunny with that internship?
I want to say like early 2010.
Okay. How old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm early 30s right now, so I'm 34.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get my timeline all figured out here.
So I graduate Oregon in 09 and rough time to come out for jobs.
Yeah. Same thing with 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the Great Resignation opening a lot of spots for
people. Yeah, it's good now. It just started to open back up. We're noticing a lot of our students are finding jobs pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. But, you know, I mean, I had awesome friends that had my back. My parents had no idea that I was kind of like bumming around on couches and stuff.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah. No. Every time my mom hears this story, she cringes. But insanely supportive parents. And then, you know, I just felt like I really needed to do it. And honestly, like it gave me such a appreciation for it and a really good work ethic at the beginning of this that has kind of carried through in everything I've done. Met some really great people along the way that, you know, are still friends. And during that time from working at Dime and ended up, you know, writing a bunch at Slam, and met a lot of really good people that kind of mixed into the sports ad world. And 72 at the time had NBA 2K, worked on that, and ESPN, and kind of made my name a little bit more on the Samsung LeBron James account, working on that stuff. And it just all kind of, you know, learning from a bunch of great mentors there, and, you know, it just kind of all added up into an experience. So
yeah,
wouldn't change it. I'm glad I went through it, and, you know, very lucky, very grateful.
Gotcha. So you did 5 years at 72 and Sunny, and over your career, you've worked with a lot of interesting people and you've had a lot of really interesting clients. Can you say, or maybe think of one or two campaigns that you might have worked on that really stand out, whether that was foundational for your start, maybe that first big break you got that you can tell us about, or just something recent?
Yeah. I mean, a couple. Well, one that stands out, you know, the Adidas account had come to 72, huge deal, starting with kicking off with global football. My partner, Gerardo Ortiz, at the time, him and I were just, you know, absolutely grinding day in and day out. It was the longest kind of pitch process I've ever been a part of. And 72 had so many talented creatives at the time, and it felt like everyone was kind of taking their swings at this account. And it was to, you know, kick off this new kind of create, you know, mentality that Adidas Sport had kind of identified within their strategic thinking. We ended up winning that with a, you know, an insight. I'd found this letter that Colin Kaepernick had written himself when he was like 9 or 10. And he was like, you know, one day I'm going to be 6'4". I'm going to play quarterback for the Niners. It's like, this is amazing. And we kind of used that as like inspiration for a kid in 2015, you know, typing on social that he's going to go up and, you know, one day kick Messi's ass, and like these rivals or these idols that have, you know, been his heroes his whole life are now going to be his rivals. And at the time it was, you know, I think now every brand is kind of going at that mentality, which is awesome.
But literally Twitter, they just kind of posted on those billboards. I don't know if you've seen Twitter's posting.
Oh,
billboards.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're having tweets awesome. Of people saying like, I'm going to be famous one day. And then they end up being Elton John or whoever it is.
Yeah, that was awesome. And yeah, so that was really big. And, you know, went to RGA, the creative director for the Nike team. Met some incredible friends there, really great creatives there. And, you know, was really fortunate to get to work with Kobe. I think that just, I've been obsessed with basketball my entire life. It's definitely been the biggest fundamental kind of inspiration in my life. I feel like it's really helped build my character in general. And there's just so many lessons that I've taken from that game. And so to be able to work and kind of direct him was really surreal.
Yeah. You know? Well, tell us, like, what were you guys working on? What was
March Madness at the time. It was kind of a campaign centered around not necessarily like some lanes around it, but talking more about Mamba mentality. And then, you know, in part of this, he was kind of giving his lessons of Mamba mentality and then kind of talking to some of the teams in the field at March Madness. And yeah, I mean, when we were on set, he's the most professional athlete in terms of like, he was listening to me direct him. He was reading a teleprompter and he was improvising all while like 50 people were staring at him. And it was just,
he was good.
Oh my, he's incredible. He's incredible. Feeling incredibly grateful to be able to work with him. And then, in terms of Rec League, I would say the thing that really put us on the map and kicked us off was the kind of beginnings of New Balance basketball.
Okay.
It was a really crowded landscape. Nike owns it. Adidas has done really well. Puma's kind of put their mark in. New Balance was starting it. They get Kawhi. We were really, we got to work really closely in terms of kind of building the content, the strategy, and the plan around that. And around that time, Kawhi had, he decided he was going to come to LA. And I think with everything that
I called that, by the way, I called that. All my buddies that are listening,
the clips.
Yeah, I called. Nice. They know that.
Yeah, he made that call. We kind of got the brief and went off on that. And then we ended up, creating this work called, Rain Over LA that kind of kicked off this, New Balance basketball in kind of a larger sense. And it felt like it really attached with culture. I think Skip and Shannon still talk about it all the time when, there was little shots at LeBron and these other little kind of imagery and Easter eggs throughout it. And, we were such a small shop at the beginning of that. The very beginning of Rec League was, 3-5 guys in a kitchen.
What is it now? What's it looking like now?
So we have about 15, and then we flex up for creative and production. So, we just did a production with 115, and, we'll flex down. So the kind of intention behind it to be intentionally leaner is just to not waste space on, bodies that aren't doing anything. So,
no, I think that's attractive to a young aspiring advertiser or marketer. I think that's what they want to hear, especially if you're creating great work all the time.
Yeah, you got to be adaptable. I mean, we were, when we started, the idea of agencies just living in project world was really terrifying. And I think we embraced from the start, how can we, continue to add value in different ways. And we pride ourselves on everyone. One, we want everyone to come here and work here as, Swiss Army knife and continue to learn. But I think we have a really, really secure and confident crew that very welcoming and just opening to helping careers. And, we understand anybody that comes in here and helps Rec League is obviously helping push that work forward, but we want to help them in their careers too. So it's been really awesome to help kind of building this thing with some great guys.
Who's the best basketball?
I mean, hands down myself, and the fact that no one can stand here and deny that to you is great. But yeah, anyone wants this work, my Instagram is Jensen Jacks, and I'm happy to see you on the court.
There we go. Well, if my buddy Juice is listening, you'll have to come. We'll have to fly to LA.
Done. We'll get a lot of courts out here, a lot of games.
Yeah. Good weather too. We have a snowstorm right now. That's been pretty tough, but
do you play?
I don't play myself. I think we're starting a rec league actually. We're starting soon though. Peter, if you're listening, message your priest so we can get that going.
Yeah, I think there's something really communal about the idea of a rec league. Like when we looked at the name and we thought about it, and there's kind of this hierarching philosophy, and we have a few philosophies that we kind of live by, but there is something really unique about a rec league that takes a bunch of different people that didn't necessarily come to the same school or the same, city to initially for this thing, but that they're coming together for an hour a week to become a team and work together and kind of bring back a little bit of the glory days. And there is something awesome that I think we all miss about that kind of team sport mentality and
camaraderie.
Yeah.
So you try to bring that to your agency. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, 100%. The dream is certainly to one day build the agency around an indoor basketball court. It would be fantastic. Oh, so
that'd be cool. Yeah, I know every agency seems like they build their agency around stairs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who doesn't love running stairs? So
yeah. Yes, every agency's got these nice stairs in the middle that they take pictures on, but it'd be way cooler to have a basketball court in the middle.
Gorgeous stairs. And I think the clients appreciate the stairs too. That's what
Cool. Awesome. So let's kick it back. I mean, I just want to highlight those main points of your break. And again, you said a lot of interesting things. We went fast over it, but what would you say was like your big break-in moment where you broke into advertising? What was that moment again? And how did that work for you?
The moment, I mean, I broke into advertising for real in my mind was, you know, the finishing the internship at 72 and them offering me a job.
And what was that internship again? Can you tell us the details on that internship? It was 3 months. You were working a lot of hours. And what was your role?
Yeah, so I got hired as an intern writer.
Okay,
right. I jumped quickly into the NBA 2K account. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like my initial kind of jumping point. And then for those 3 months, you know, it was as if you were a junior writer. You were right. Expected to be in every meeting to bring ideas. And I really respected that they gave a shot. You know, it was and at that time, also the beneficiary of a lot of great seniors and mid-level creatives that didn't feel insecure about an intern being there and also kind of taking a shot. Cause, you know, I mean, I think in a lot of agencies, making stuff is your currency as a creative. And so naturally there is some competition that festers. And I think that, you know, that time 72 was a little void of that. And I think that learning that early on really helped set the stage for what we wanted Rec League to be, because we want everyone individually to soar, but the work is only good if everybody really puts their, you know, full effort into it and is actually collaborative. And that's clients included. Like we're very much friends and partners with all of our clients, and they add to this process. There's no, you know, like cautioning off of anybody. There's no, you're on this side of the taxi and I'm on that. Like it's a team effort. And I learned that, you know, from the early days as an internship. And I credit guys like Brian Rolls and Glenn Cole really brought me in initially. And, you know, those guys have done, you know, wonders over there.
Gotcha. Okay. You were at RGA. You freelanced a little bit after that, it says in your LinkedIn. But what was the moment in your head? It was like, all right, we're creating the Rec League.
Yeah. I mean, we knew we wanted to do our own thing, but funny enough, I was on a shoot with Boogie Cousins in Sacramento. DeMarcus was in Sacramento at the time. We were shooting something for Nike Digital. And, you know, we were just chopping it up with him. And he was like, you know, I have at the time, he's like, I have 1 million followers in this entire city of Sacramento following me. I've wanted to be a Nike athlete my entire life. And, you know, I don't get featured that much. This is one of the first things we've done. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to start creating content too. And I think that was maybe 2016-ish. And that kind of like tipped off a light bulb in my head too, that there's just other opportunities in this world. And there's a lot of guys, and it's not necessarily just the brands that are, you know, their own, they have their own following, but each one of these guys is becoming their own brands on social. That was kind of an initial thing to kind of push us in a smaller group outside of that to just kind of start making our own. Right. So we started doing that. And then that kind of naturally just kind of, you know, ultimately carouseled into, I guess, my boss at Dime Magazine, this guy, Pat Cassidy, had left Dime and he'd become a client at New Balance. He had kind of seen some of our work. He'd hit me up about it. You know, what's this Rec League thing? And from there, we kind of just talked and started talking about, you know, what we were building over there. And ultimately that ended in an opportunity to work on a New Balance baseball project. And then that just kind of, you know, naturally positioned us in there and we got another project and then that built to another project. And then from there, you know, we just kind of built the agency.
Wow.
All so, very organic. I mean, that's, you know, and we've learned too, there's no way to like force it, you know, and just like the work, you got to be authentic and ultimately be good people.
Right. Right. So Boogie said, I'm going to create my own content. And you said, oh, if Boogie can do this, I'm going to do this.
I'm like, if Boogie wants to do this, then more athletes want to do this.
That's smart.
And in general, like, honestly, we've always tried to think about things differently and look at opportunities differently. When I was with Dime, I noticed that the biggest thing that we got that I didn't necessarily get with a brand was much more time with athletes. I spent 4 hours with Derrick Rose and his trainer in a flip camera at the time. And then, wow. You know, we jump into a brand world and we get, hey, you got an hour and they're in and out. We need to see everything. And so we're like, okay, well, I can get 4 hours over there and I can tell a story. And so, you know, we hit up Slam with that kind of, you know, we first started Rec with like, hey, we can do more in that time with these guys. and we'll just, you know, we'll pull favors. We'll do whatever we can. Mm-hmm. And we originally did, we did a set of three with Kyle Kuzma when he was a rookie for the Lakers, Sharif O'Neal. He was a senior up at Crossroads. Great kid. Mm-hmm. And with the Nuggets with Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, we kind of did this three thing where, you know, we went in for the magazine, but then we kind of basically built a spot for these guys that, you know, the brand was Slam and it was them. And you know, and ultimately we just try to look for those little moments. I think, you know, where can we add value in general? And there's always opportunity. I think like there's opportunity in this world and there's a lot of people that are going to say that there's not, but you can force your hand and find opportunity anywhere.
Did you ever make Kawhi Leonard or see anybody make Kawhi Leonard laugh?
Yeah. No, we made him laugh. We got some photos. I don't know if they were approved, but teeth were shown.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a good dude.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. I heard a story. He ate a bunch of apples at like dinner once. Have you heard that story?
I did. I think that was debunked, but I do. Okay. I hope that he was chuckling to himself about that. Yeah, and I mean, he's like something that ad students should do a study on, because he was a guy that had been branded, Jordan, Gatorade. And, you know, from our perspective, it looked like a lot of brands were trying to make him LeBron, and he just isn't. And people like Kawhi because he's Kawhi. And so with Bounce, from the very start, we leaned into him. And the idea was, how can we get the entire world talking without our guy having to say a word? And so you'll see, you know, on the first 3-4 campaigns with Kawhi, he doesn't say a word intentionally. And it's not that he doesn't have anything to say. The spots are incredibly loud, I think, in his statements. But we lean into what is him and what's comfortable to him and why he is cool and why kids are attracted to his story and why they like to watch him play and not anybody else. And with everything, I think that's like a tenet of our work and something – you know, I think very strategically and inside driven about creative as a writer, but we try to lean into curveballs or, you know, I think a lot of brands looked at it like, hey, we have this spokesperson who doesn't like to talk. And we looked at it as a positive. So, okay,
right.
We do a bunch of other cool stuff with that. And, right. You know, similar to this thing we just did with Jamal Murray and Darius Bazley, you know, there's a lot of shipping issues with shoes. It's a very real issue, where we couldn't get sneakers to the guys on the shoot day. And we have an awesome client who's like down to lean into those curveballs and like poke fun and be self-aware. And you can create, awesome work with it. And so we created a shoe commercial without a shoe because, you know, it's
a shoe commercial without a shoe. Shoe commercial without a shoe. Yeah. Because the supply chain, it was kind of
supply chain. You get it. You know, it's a whole thing.
The term for that is acknowledging resistance. I actually just read one chapter of a book yesterday, and that was the chapter. So
very cool.
Yeah. And Boardman gets paid. I love that. I love that line.
That was, I'll give a shout out to Sean Sweeney at New Balance, and Q came up with those shirts and that kind of,
so branding.
Yeah. Fun guy.
It makes sense that you're just leaning into the Kawhi brand. Like, that's who he is. Those are his values. I mean, if he is not a showy guy, so you're not going to make a showy. You're not going to make him be showy. It just makes sense.
Exactly. Or the show is going to be around him, and it's around how he's going to control that show. You know, I think there's always a strategy. There's always an idea to something that, you know, whatever the perceived curveball or resistance, like there's a way to think around that.
How so? Is it much different? Like when you have sports clients. Is it much different than your traditional clients at an ad agency? You have your concept, you have your strategy, and you have your executions, all based on creativity and being interesting. I mean, the fundamental, it seems like they're pretty parallel.
Maybe on paper, but I mean, I could use Tide my entire life, and I don't need to have used Tide my entire life to write something that you convincingly need to wash your clothes. But if I'm talking to young aspiring football players or a kid in London who is a humongous, you know, Liverpool fan, and I better know what the hell I'm talking about because they're going to call bullshit immediately. And so that, you know, subconscious to some, very on the nose to others, but that authenticity and that realness, you know, we say real always resonates, and it truly does, because, and that's what makes it different, being able to talk the talk and being authentic, in our opinion, isn't stats and, you know, wins and losses. Like, it's awesome to know that you should be plugged in, but there is an authenticity to the passion and understanding of what it is to be that kid and to want to be that guy.
You can't fake it. You can't lie. You have to be so, because these are fans. Fan is short for fanatic. They will sniff it out if it's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's uninteresting. I've seen that. You know? Yeah. I've seen the same sports spot 1,000 times. And so how can we do something different? And, you know, I think a lot of my career, I've always heard a brand like, well, we don't want to be Nike. We don't want to. Well, Nike's kicking ass, you know, sure, but they're doing their own thing. So, like,
yeah,
we don't want to be them. We don't want to have to, you know, run their same playbook. So let's create our own.
Love it. So what advice do you have for the aspiring sports marketing, sports advertising student or recent grad? They want to do what you do. Like, and I don't know too many agencies that do what you do. I'm sure there's a couple competitors that you have on the top of your head, but we're not talking about them. How do we get into the?
I would say to young people jumping in, one, like, give a shit, truly. I think you can use advertising for whatever you want out of it. I'm a person who's, you know, I think a lot of creatives in general, like, kind of secretly loathe, but also love that they work in advertising. Is there's a lot of possibilities and opportunities in it. But I think, you know, use advertising for what you want out of it. If you want to be a writer, if you want to work in sports, if you want to write movies one day, or you want to learn how to sell better, there's a way to take this industry and learn a lot from it. But you have to give a shit, and not just give a shit like sleep in your car and photocopy a parking pass. That's one way. But, like, truly care about the insights and do the research and, like, consume. I consume comments, and I'm studying audiences, and I'm watching interviews, and every day, it's an everyday thing. And that ultimately equals better work. And don't just worry about putting portfolio pieces, but think about the ideas you're coming up with. And, you know, it's a deeply insecure creative industry, because creatives attach a bit of themselves to work. You write an idea, you come up with an idea of your brain that didn't exist, and somebody crushes it. Yeah, it's hard to not take that personally. You got to lose that immediately.
Seriously.
And it takes a bit. It takes a
bit.
Well,
we see that with our students, you know, our first quarter and second quarter students. It's hard for them to unlearn that, you know, they're not your babies. They're just ideas. Think of more. And it's hard for them in the beginning.
But I think it comes with sacrifice and struggle too. You know, I mean, talking about, you know, we're working at, like, standing desk, you know, drinking boba. So it's not like you're sacrificing a ton, but it's, you know, if you get beaten down and you get bad reviews and you lose a thing, like, that's going to build it up. So, and once you do it, once you know you can do it, once you finally, whatever your goal is, if your goal is to get a spot on Monday Night Football and you finally do it and you know you can do it, hopefully that releases a lot of that tension. So I think for young people here, one, we want to get them involved early so that their ideas are a part of the collaborative process. So they're not like, okay, you didn't win the big idea, you're shut out. Everybody's a part of, like, building this thing. Sure. Whatever brand they are, and just be interested in it, like, be interested in the whole thing. Like, if it's hard to say, it's hard to, you know, and I say this as someone who got, I don't think I sold an idea for a year at 72, and, you know, I think I came to work every day hoping they didn't realize that I was bad at this, and you just kind of keep pressing it. But, and then what we just talked about, you mentioned resistance, but I would say lean into curveballs with work, with every single brief you get. Like, that's, to me, that's where, like, the magic happens, is, like, finding those little bits in the brief that, like, are already there for you and that you might perceive as resistance. Like, if you find the way into that, that's the thinking that people attach to, because I think people are really perceptive of self-awareness, and there's a superpower in that.
Love it. Great. Are you hiring now? Or how can people reach out to you if they want to just learn more about you?
I mean, we're, you know, always looking for talent in general. I mean, you can find us, you know, at Rec League Legends on Instagram, therecleague.com. You know, reach out, follow, watch. be interested in sports. I'd say there's never been a moment in time where if you want to write about sports or you want to be a part of it, there's a blog for every single team. There is an opportunity to. And don't be afraid to jump in and take that, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, definitely hit us up and follow along.
Cool. All right, Jack, that's all I got for you. We'll have people reach out to you. It'll be easy to find you. I'll have all of our links at Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram, all one word. And they can find you there, and I'm sure they will. You'll probably get a bunch of messages. So thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, sir.
Did you hear anything on this episode about a job you'd like to have someday, soon, in advertising, strategy, design? The kind of job where you use your brain and your creativity? If you did, chances are a portfolio can really help you get that job. That's where Chicago Portfolio School comes in. They have programs and classes that help you show off your thinking and get you the job you want. So visit them at chicagoportfolio.com. And if you drop my name, Gino, into the chat box, they'll send you more info and a cool Sharpie. Or just some more info. You can decide that. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests, better break-ins, if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn. And they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Buchan Zhang, our creative director. Can't do it without you two and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz, their PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.